Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Recommend that if the board is inclined to vote for A, B, and C that's in the recommendation here, that you also make a motion to reject the request for the waiver from the Children's Trust, or the board, of course, can use its discretion to vote in favor of the waiver, in which case you would not be going along with A, B, and C.
Madam Counsel, do we have to take action on their request? I don't see why we have to. I don't see why we would have to act on that.
You don't have to take action on their request.
Yeah.
We can proceed with A, B, and C. Looks like they have representation.
Well,
here.
They signed up to speak. I would say allow them to speak and we take action. We don't have to respond to someone else's request.
Wow. Now I know background here is going to be important for you to understand why that was so stunning to me. When that happened, when Stephen Barry essentially waved off the Escambia Children's Trust representatives like they were just pesky flies asking for something ridiculous. Ah, go away. We'll listen to you talk in public, but then we're going to make our vote and you're going to suck it, which is basically what they wound up doing. The backdrop here is fascinating. I know we talked about this yesterday. I mean, we said, it's a complicated thing to understand. We voted in a half mil. That's 50 cents. 50 cents in every buck, or $5 in every $1,000 worth of valuation for your home that goes to the Escambia Children's Trust every year in Escambia County to fund programs that benefit children, right? Because we have an education and child preparation problem in Escambia County. But you have things called CRAs, and CRAs are built on the concept of frozen assessed value and then current assessed value, and anything from the time the CRA was created. At that value, those taxes, they go to the county. Beyond that, the taxes, at least a share of them, go back to that CRA, still go to the county in a slightly different form to be used in that area for basically economic rejuvenation, economic development. The problem is that the money collected for the CRA, for the Escambia Children's Trust, in that half mil, from CRA areas, went to the Escambia Children's Trust. And the above frozen value amount is supposed to actually go to the CRA or a version of the county to use on projects for economic development in those areas. Nobody realized this, and they come 3 years later and discover that, oh, look, the Escambia Children's Trust owes the county, the CRA, $1 million plus some penalties, plus some fees and a little bit of change. But that's basically it. And also the city, something on the order of $600,000-$700,000, something in that vicinity. So what they had options to do here is the recommendation from Allison Rogers, county attorney, that's the female voice that you heard, was we can just, waive any penalties and make them just pay the $1,134,000 to the county to put the money back in the hands of the CRA in order to do their stuff. Here's the problem with all of this. When we voted in the half mil, what did we vote in? We voted it in to benefit kids. We didn't vote it in to go for economic development in the CRA. But the portion of that half mil on the improved since the frozen amount value of property in the CRAs, well, we essentially voted in a property tax increase. I mean, we voted in a property tax increase of a half mil, but to go to kids. And now what the county has decided is, you know what? And it's legal, okay? It's a legal interpretation, all right? That we actually voted in a property tax increase to mostly go for kids, but a little of it, because these things were done after the CRA was reformed, just goes to the county to do what they want to within the CRA. And the fact that somebody had the audacity to challenge Stephen Barry on this and say, sir, we don't agree with your interpretation of all this because we think the voters meant for this money to go to help kids, which we did, and not to go to, you know, do whatever projects you feel like doing. You know, $1 million is a pretty tempting thing for a commissioner to, you know, take essentially and use the way they want to use it. And I think he was irritated that they bothered writing a response letter that wasn't, oh, yes, sir, we're sorry, sir, please forgive us, sir. They wrote a response letter and their attorney says, you know, we have programs to help kids and you don't. And we think your interpretation of this is wrong. And we think that you're supposed to have a public hearing now that we've made a request for you to give us a waiver on all this. Because, again, the voters didn't vote in a tax increase in order to do your projects. They voted in a tax increase to do children's projects. And you're now taking $1 million away from children's projects when a lot of voters didn't support this to begin with. And a lot of voters are frustrated with the inability of the Scambia Children's Trust to do what it's supposed to do. But none of that matters to this. The point is, you're taking the money back to just do projects in the CRA.
I think by taking A, B, and C, we're affirming that the board expects to be paid.
We expect to be paid. That's such a great encapsulation of this. So Allison Rogers says, go for A, B, and C. That's the ones, again, to take the money and to waive the fees. Lindsay Cannon, the executive director of the Scambia Children's Trust.
I think that...
She's only been in the job like 45 days. She's very new at this, but... By what I have been told, I don't know her personally, but by what I've been told, very capable, okay?
I think that we have great representation of the commissioners on our board as well. So challenges and supports and funding that you need in your areas, I want to encourage us to have open conversation about that. I need to know. As someone that was a nonprofit executive director in this community and working in a lot of our really impoverished areas, I know the importance and the impactfulness of this money. So we ask you just to delay any decision related to this action item until we can formally address the exemption request.
Okay, so there's three things the board could do at this point. By the way, they don't have a District 4 commissioner, so there's only four of them. Jeff Bergosh is out of town, so it's three. Mike Kohler, Lumen May, and Stephen Barry. They have options. Option number one, they could just vote to take the money. Option number two, which in my view means that essentially they're saying, you know, that tax increase you passed, yeah, too bad for you. That's going to go to us, not go to the children, okay? A slice of it, you know, $1 million of it, okay? Out of about $10 million a year that gets collected, okay? Option number two is they could say, we're going to create an exemption, and we're going to just allow you to keep the money because we believe that for example, that the taxpayers kind of intended that, and this is all a little bit just of a procedural bureaucratic mess, and we're going to let you keep the money the way the taxpayers intended. Or number three, we're not sure, let's wait. What would you do? I mean, there's nothing urgent about this. The money's been collected this way for 3 years. There's nothing pressing about this. So what are they going to do? Well, Meredith Bush, the attorney representing the Scambia Children's Trust.
So statutorily, the board does have to take action on our request, although not today. But the statute requires that when an exemption request is filed, that a public hearing is held on that request to address the matters outlined in the exemption request.
So Stephen Barry doesn't want to vote on the request and deny it. She says you have to.
Because we just received the notice on Friday and provided our exemption request yesterday, we would simply ask that you delay action on item A, B, and C until such time as you've held the public hearing required on the exemption request.
Oh, and there's supposed to be a public hearing, which you haven't done yet, and maybe you could wait till after you do that. You're statutorily required to do it. So that's two. She's telling Stephen Barry he's wrong, and Allison Rogers she's wrong, and lawyers disagree. Okay, that's fine. But okay, that's two.
Statute requires that the programs within the CRA, that there be specific projects that benefit the purpose of the special district that you're taking the TEF funds from. And we've been through all of your redevelopment plans. Only the cantonment plan contains any projects or programs related to children. That may be one that we could agree to pay now. However, on the others, there's case law that's clear that a special district is not required to pay TIF funds when the redevelopment district does not benefit the purpose of that special district.
She's saying the money's supposed to go to help the kids, and there's nothing in their CRA plans that helps kids except for in cantonment, which she doesn't mind paying that part. Let's have a conversation. Let's think about this, because she thinks case law is on their side that they don't have to pay back the money. Particularly because, again, taxpayers didn't vote in the Scambia Children's Trust tax increase in order to do something other than, you know, help kids, and your projects don't help kids. So that's three. Stephen Bear doesn't like to be told he's wrong in public, and he's being told he's wrong in public, okay?
The purpose of the special district of the Children's Trust is the provision of services for children. Currently, your plans do not contain the provision of services for children. So we would just ask that you take this into consideration, that we could avoid any further action by the trust on this and hold a hearing on the exemption request as required by statute.
So there's some disagreement. Let's wait. Let's push this a month and let's, you know, just kind of figure out what is the appropriate way forward. Let's talk. So what would you do? Would you take the money? Would you waiver the money, or would you say, okay, come back when there's four commissioners here, which is as many as we have at the moment, and let's talk about it in the intervening time and let's kind of come to an agreement. What would you do?
I am 100% comfortable that you can proceed with A, B, and C.
Okay.
And if it does appear, if that's what you wish to do, and if it does appear after digesting their information that we are obligated to schedule a public hearing to consider this, then we'll certainly get that scheduled and bring it back to you all.
Okay.
So let's just take the money for now, and then later we'll come back and we'll see if we need to do any of these public hearings that these people are talking about. It's weird advice, because it seems like the advice should have been, you know what, I think we're entitled to take this, but they've got some questions. We haven't fully researched it yet. There's nothing urgent about this. Let's just wait. So it seems to me like the right answer is wait. The second best answer is create the waiver. The third best answer is, nah, just take the money. Just take it. Who cares? Lumen May, Commissioner District 3.
Steve, if we have a CRA plan, you know, particularly in Brownsville and Englewood, that's saying it's not addressing, and you, I mean, it's hard for me to conceive that the only CRA that has a youth component is Cantonment. I mean, that would be tough. I mean, I would love to get clarification on that. I mean, that's probably has nothing to do with A, B, and C, but
yeah.
I mean, that's fundamentally a problem. I mean, if we're saying that it's only one CRA that's addressing delinquency, when we know where the 32501, 32503, we know where the delinquency in the crime is, and if that's not written into the plan, that's not good for whoever's writing the plan. You know, that's very disappointing.
So he's frustrated that to discover the CRA doesn't have stuff to benefit kids. Of course, he cares about kids and wants to see them prosper and avoid the long-term consequences in a community like District 3 of having these problems with kids, which is what the Escambia Children's Trust was designed to solve. But if the county under the CRA is not doing this stuff too, that's frustrating to him. And he's like, he says it doesn't have anything to do with taking the money, but it has everything to do with taking the money, because if you're not taking the money to benefit kids, then you're thwarting the will of the voters in raising taxes to pay for kids stuff, right? So I actually thought Lumen May was going to vote against this at this point. Mike Kohler.
I entertain a motion for A, B, and C.
Mr. Chairman, if
yeah,
I can
Mike,
make a comment.
Sure.
He wants to speak first.
I agree with that, and I just want to say something. Children's stuff in this, I look at playgrounds and community centers, and all the things that Lexington Terrace is a great example of a blighted park that is in a poor community. Right. And same with Brownsville. You know, and I've got three of those. and Parks and Recs is doing the best to do some of that, but it'd be nice to have some of this money that would help with the environmental focus of these areas.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice to have the money, because it's always nice to have an extra $1 million to spend on stuff. The question is whether it really benefits kids. And I'm sympathetic to the claim that working on parks benefits kids, but the Escambia Children's Trust is much more focused than that, and we didn't vote in a millage increase in order to benefit parks. Right? That wasn't the sales pitch. So then we go to the question of, and he's going to continue talking a little bit, but then we're going to have the question of, is there going to be a motion?
From what I understand, talking to Madam Attorney, this was an oversight we should have had previously and was neglected, right? We're in complete right to have this, get these funds from the Child Trust Fund, right? That's what I thought. So you made the motion, Lumen, for A, B, and C? Did they? Okay.
He did not.
I'll make a motion to approve A, B, and C.
Is there a second?
Is it going to die for lack of a second? Because Lumen May is not comfortable about this and wants to wait?
I'll second it, but I still have some questions.
Sure.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, and I don't think there's, I mean, clearly nobody stood up in the audience, so I don't think this question is going to be answered today. But
no,
I don't know
right.
that they address A, B, and C either. But,
yeah. Right. No mayor to the whale. I mean, this is the first I've heard that. And so, right. I mean, we'll figure it out.
All right, please vote. A, B, and C of the county attorney's report passes 3-0. Madam Attorney.
That's all I have.
The one who's on the Escambia Children's Trust. Now, I don't know whether he was at this emergency meeting that they had the other day or not. I haven't watched that video. I have only lightly been following the Escambia Children's Trust issues, frankly, because it's just, you know, one more thing to follow. And I will say this. I think the Escambia Children's Trust is, to the degree I'm aware of its operations, has been a giant hot mess. Okay. I mean, and it, you know, the people who were uncertain about the tax increase have not seen reassuring successes from the Escambia Children's Trust. So I'm not here to be a big defender of them. But this is like, you would think every once in a while the county commission, when it comes to a controversial question, would get it right. They seem to be like bent on getting it wrong. And in this case, Lumen May, who seemed to be on the right side, like, I have questions. I'm not sure what's going on. We need more information. I'm on the Escambia Children's Trust board. Can we just pause a month and figure this out? No, he's going to second Stephen Barry's request because he almost always does whatever Stephen Barry wants. They always vote together as a block, almost always. So in the end, they just voted to take the money. And then we'll see what happens. Oh, my God. It's just, like, honestly, where my mind was at yesterday before this happened is I was talking to my wife about this, and she's like, well, if they take the money back from the Escambia Children's Trust, they're just going to give it back to us because that means that they taxed us. If we're in a CRA, they taxed us on things we should know. I mean, they just should give it back to the voters because the money's not going to help the kids. It shouldn't just go to the county. So, no, they didn't do that. It's amazing. I mean, it's not amazing. Of course, I wonder now what's going to happen with these two fine women and, you know, having the audacity to tell Stephen Barry that he's wrong and what that's going to mean. Because, again, he does not, many, many times when people do that, he does not like that. So we'll see. We'll see. But just wait. Just wait. That's all you had to do was just wait a month. No, take the money. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you want a great, beautiful, green, lush lawn in June and July, you got to start thinking about that now. You don't start thinking about that in June and July. You have to plan ahead. That's why you call NSEC. NSEC will come in with their healthy lawn program and make your lawn lush and green and keep the weeds to a minimum. 8 annual applications, time program targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. You begin with a free lawn analysis and an estimate. They'll do a soil sample, and they'll figure out what you need. You can sign up today. You get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program. That includes that soil sample, lime treatment on an average size yard, and then you can think about all the various options involved in getting that happy times for your lawn coming up in June and July. Sign up today or just find more information at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
Get set for family fun this March 30th at one of four unbelievable Easter egg hunts. Choose from Eggawahooza at the Blue Wahoos Stadium, Beulah Dash at Escambia Equestrian Center, Pesapalooza at Benny Russell Park, or the latest addition, Molino Mayhem at Don Sutton Park. Visit PensacolaEaster.org to register your kids or for more info. All of this family fun is brought to you by the Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
for the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
Good morning, 529 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, a lawsuit filed by the Department of Justice along with 16 different state and district attorney generals claiming Apple has monopolized the smartphone market by blocking competitors from accessing hardware and software features on their phones. A second flight of American citizens landing safely in the U.S. after fleeing Haiti yesterday. The flight evacuated 80 Americans that landed in Miami. The State Department encouraging all citizens to leave Haiti as the political unrest continues there.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know, my bracket's looking pretty good. How'd you do? Illinois won. It was a little tight in the beginning. A triple-double, by the way, for one of the Illinois players. Only the third time that's ever happened in NCAA, or 10th time that's ever happened in NCAA history. I picked Oregon. I don't know what you're upset about. Oh, man. And, you know, I don't think I picked Duquesne, but, you know, congratulations to them for their big upset, too.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The House votes today on a $1.2 trillion bill that, if passed, would keep the government from shutting down again. Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke on Fox Business Network's The Bottom Line with Liz McDonald.
You have one choice. Do we put our Department of Defense, our military overseas, do we put them in a CR, or do we pass this bill?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken arriving in Israel to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the U.S. gets ready to introduce a resolution at the U.N. Security Council.
The newly revised and tougher U.S. resolution declares an immediate and sustained ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war is imperative to protect civilians and enable humanitarian aid to be delivered to more than 2 million hungry Palestinians.
That is Fox's Carmen Roberts. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield is optimistic it'll be approved. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 60 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. This morning, an RV fire in Foley claiming the life of a man and a dog this week. Firefighters say they were called to this fire on Magnolia Avenue. It was last Sunday. Fire crews say when they arrived, they found the 32-foot camper completely engulfed in flames. One person that was living there was able to escape without injury. The other person that lived there found deceased with severe burns. The Alabama Fire Marshal, Foley Fire Department, Foley Police all now investigating so far. The cause of that fire has not been determined. They say that's because of extensive damage to the RV. Well, investigators are still waiting for toxicology results from a driver that crashed into a Pensacola police officer last week. PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio these incidents really aren't like they are on TV, where results are instantaneous.
No, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, and when injuries are possible, injuries are involved, and people have to be evaluated at the hospital, there's different ways of handling that case. You know, obviously there's not going to be any field sobriety tests done, but so we do have to do some waiting on situations like this.
And that crash on Bayou Boulevard last week, PPD says the officer was in the left turn lane over on Bayou Boulevard when a driver crossed the center line, crashed into the side of his patrol car. The officer was taken to the hospital to have his leg checked out, but Mike Wood does say he didn't have any serious injuries. His leg was okay, and there's a possibility of DUI charges being filed after they get those results back. More Americans back home after being stuck in Haiti. A flight chartered by the federal government landed yesterday in Miami, where 80 people were on board. One passenger says the situation in Haiti is still very, very bad, and says he couldn't even explain everything that he saw while they were there. Well, 10 years after her arrest, a Tampa woman involved in an international kidnapping case is now free. A judge yesterday ended Sharon Hacken's probation, gave her early release. She'd been arrested after she and her husband took two kids from her parents' home in 2013 and went to Cuba with them. Hacken's parents had custody of the boys after Hacken and her husband had been arrested for another incident in 2012, her now ex-husband still serving time for the kidnapping incident. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will be dealing with showers and thunderstorms today. 70% chance of rain in the afternoon and evening. High today near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. For Saturday, small showers possible in the morning. Then the skies clear out. High near 68. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. For Sunday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees and a low near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 56 in Milton, and our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Men Without Hats, the perfect ringtone for every director of public safety. I don't know whether it actually is Eric Gilmore's ringtone on his phone, but it probably should be for everybody who works in that department. Probably isn't. Eric Gilmore joins us again. Wes Moreno was out for a couple of weeks he had appointments and conflicts, so had Eric on yesterday and talked with him about a bunch of things. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing this morning? It is not my ringtone, but I do like it. Thank you, sir.
Well, maybe in the future. We have a lot of stuff to get to with you. Can we start with this? First, kind of a cool note. We've got new ambulances in hand. We got more ambulances coming, and the county is going to either authorize an additional, like we got 8 in hand, 4 more coming, and either did authorize or is considering authorizing another 8. Are my numbers right?
So your numbers are a little skewed, a little off, but okay. Here they are. So we did receive 8 ambulances a couple of weeks ago, so they're in the county. We're getting those upfitted now. The last board meeting, the commissioners approved to buy six new ambulances.
Okay.
And, yes, sir, 6 more. And then we're actually working to refurb or re-chassis 3 of the internationals that we have right now that have good boxes. So we're looking at a total of 17 ambulances throughout the next year and a half.
Kind to say my numbers were skewed. They were completely wrong. That's fine. I'll take it.
Okay. I'm being nice.
No, that's good. I appreciate that. But the ones we have in hand look amazing because they are made out of F-18 refurbished metal. And they're no, but they are painted on the outside to represent the Blue Angels, right?
That is correct. They are Blue Angels themed. They are not the Blue Angels. They are Blue Angels themed, and it doesn't make them go any faster, but they do look nice. And they look pretty cool. So, yeah.
Oh, man. No smoke on, no Buno, no nothing. They don't have any canopy. No. Okay. Well, but still, they look cool.
No.
But yes, it is my understanding that we have had some issues with them, and they're Horton, right? That Horton is the manufacturer?
Yeah, they're Horton. So when they came in, there was a little couple of quality control things that the shop let them go with. So they're having to fix those things while they're here. No big deal. We always, even with fire trucks and everything, we do a punch list when we go to the manufacturer. And if they didn't complete it, then, you know, we don't want to receipt. We don't want to just take them because now we own them at that moment. But so they're finishing the little punch list. And then what we got to do is upfit them. So with stuff we got to put in, you know, radios, we got to put the cradle points in. We got to put the MTDs in. We've got to get the brackets mounted for the life pack. So there's some stuff that we still have to do to get those things in service. It's not once they hit the ground, they're turnkey and ready to go. There's a lot that we have to upfit to make sure they're ready for our operation.
Okay, so in my mind, there are three components to an end result ambulance on the road. One would be the physical functionality of the truck as a truck. Two would be the you know, the EMS elements of the truck that contribute to health care and life saving. And then three would be the county added things, like you say, communications equipment and stuff on the end. If I understand you correctly, one is fine. Three is your responsibility. It's the stuff with two that maybe wasn't quite done right that you're still working on with Horton.
Just two. They did send representatives down here, and they're fixing this thing right now, I guess, sir.
Okay. So, but the trucks run great. That's not the issue. It's just that some of the stuff related to EMS. Okay,
that's
perfect.
Correct. That's correct.
Obviously, one of the big subjects we've been talking about for a year or so now, since Commissioner Bergosh really has made such a push to expand public beach access, whether it's the discovery that the leases actually allow people to walk out on the beach, or opening one of the beach accesses last year, or whatever. But we had a drowning, actually, too, last year. There's really high profile, and that's not the first or only one we've ever had. Staffing that beach with guards, you're going to put up one tower, which the county bought with local option sales tax money, and then you're going to put what, roaming trucks with guards in them, which is common. That's what you do. How many staff do you need to make this happen? And is there any equipment that you don't yet have to make this happen?
Good question. So right now, what it looks like is three additional staff for Pernita Key. We already covered Johnson's Beach as we right now. So there's three out there at Johnson's Beach. So we'll put three more at Beach Access for Beach Access 2, we'll put a lifeguard stand, and that's the only piece of equipment that we do not have right now is the lifeguard stand itself. It's en route, so it should be here mid-April, and we'll have it drop shipped to Beach Access 2. Because the accesses are so limited, and we don't have the entire stretch of the beach like we do at Pensacola Beach, where we can just go up and down the beach in a truck, we do have enough vehicles at Pensacola Beach to take a vehicle and put it on the key. So we'll put three people, two in the lifeguard stand at Access 2, and then we'll put one in a truck roving from 1, 3, and 4. And what they're going to be doing is getting out, making contact with the people out on the beach. Right now we have nothing. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's no lifeguard presence. There's nobody talking to them. There's nobody telling them the warnings or telling them what dangers are out there. So, you know, even that one person in the truck going out on the accesses at 1, 3, and 4 and saying, hey, guys, just understand that the surf's a little rough today. Please be careful. Avoid these areas. We think we can prevent a lot by just talking and verbalizing to people and do a lot of preventative stuff.
Very good. And that, I know you had gone out there with AJ yesterday, Alex Johnson, deputy lifeguard, or is under Dave Greenwood at the beach. You'd gone out there yesterday to look, and you basically, that had been your plan going in, and that is still your plan now that you've looked at it?
It is. We might modify or tweak a couple of things with the warning systems or anything, but that's where we have kind of settled out right now, that, you know, a lifeguard stand with two lifeguards at two, a roving patrol in the vehicle. There's some logistical things we're going to have to work out. You know, these are a lot of them are under 18 years old, so you know, working out lunches and rotating people out. So we have to work. He's working through a schedule on that.
Okay.
But as far as the rest of the equipment, we do have the rest of the equipment. That's no problem. But you know, and I want everybody to understand that while we say this is going to be the plan right now, if we find something that works better or we need to tweak it, it's subject to change. It's not hard set in stone. So we're gonna work it, see how it goes, and if we need to modify it, we'll modify it. But that's what we're generally thinking right now.
One of the questions that I have been raising about the staffing of lifeguards out on Perdido Key is we don't have a massive surplus in lifeguards. In fact, my perception is that we're always sort of just barely have enough, or maybe we're a little bit short. You know, I know Dave Greenwood does a great job trying to recruit and train and all that, but we just don't have a big surplus of lifeguards. So where are the three going to come from? How much of a challenge is it going to be? And are we going to have to pull guards off of Pensacola Beach to make this happen?
Well, that's a potential, and that's something AJ is going to be working with me on, and that's what he's going to be. That's some of the staffing stuff and some of the logistical stuff that AJ is going to be looking at. How many do we have? How many is going to come back starting in May? You know, we're looking at staffing Perdita Key at the same time we do the full staffing of Pensacola Beach. So we're not doing anything early right now. We're looking at May 23rd through August the 11th is what we're looking at. So hopefully we'll look at staffing levels, see that we do have enough, at least three people that we can put out there at Perdita Key. But that's something as we get closer, we'll identify that we have the people adult, and then we'll determine what's the priorities and how we're going to do these things. This is what AJ and I had a discussion about yesterday. So, but we'll have these discussions.
Okay. So I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want to ask you, depending on how many kids show up, how many we can get trained, certified and all of that for the full season, when we're at maximum staffing, we, at this point, it's possible or likely, I don't know which, that the number of guards available to work on Pensacola Beach will have to be diminished somewhat in order to provide guards at Perdido Key. Is that, you tell me.
It is a potential, but we don't know just yet. We think that we have the numbers to be able to pull it off at both locations, honestly. Okay. So, every year, we do Gulf Islands National Seashore as well. And, last year we didn't get to do Langdon Beach or Opal Beach as much as we wanted to. When we had upstaffing, so those are some of the areas we have to look at as well. But it is possibly, and we have 56 people, I think was Dave said, come try it out and pass the test that we're onboarding. So we'll look at that manpower and see if potentially it might not affect Pensacola Beach at all, but potentially it might. We don't know just yet. So.
Okay. Just a logistics question, because as you got to talking about it, made me realize something. One of the advantages of having continuous beach and public access out on Pensacola Beach is that the trucks can go directly to the area and they can go right back and forth up and down the beach. Obviously, as you said, at Perdido Key, they cannot. Although, my understanding, again, with some of the leases, I don't know, can you drive a truck across those areas where the public can access? And if there is a call out, you know, you need to respond to something at 4 and your truck is at 1, do you have to go back out onto Perdido Key Drive and then back out again, or can you just go right down the beach and get to them?
We will go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go down the beach to get to them. Unfortunately, it's not like Pensacola Beach where we just have continuous property and just straight to them. We have to go back out on the road. And that's, even as they're making their rounds, they're going to have to go back out on Perdido Key Drive and go to each access and then kind of walk out there. So because we're still dealing with the lease issue and all that and not understanding 75 foot to the water, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
So we don't want people driving within that range. So
okay, yeah, and that's what I was concerned about. And that's it's very inconvenient as an area to patrol compared to, for example, Pensacola Beach. So I appreciate that, man. I told you, we have like 10 things to get to, and we've gotten to 2 of them. so. You,
right.
Your folks, Scamby Fire Rescue, responded to a fire at the materials recycling facility this week. Is that right? How big was it? How bad was it?
That is correct. I think it was. I think it affected some machinery or some equipment in there. I'm not 100% sure. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even report yesterday. I got so busy. But I do know the MRF was caught fire. What was it? Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
When they arrived on scene, heavy black smoke showing. My understanding is I think it was a lithium-ion battery. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. But I think, I don't know that they put it out of service or what the extent of the damage was, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough. I also just wanted to follow up with you. Obviously, there's been a lot of controversy within EMS, the union being very frustrated with Chief Torsell. We've talked with Wes about that. There was a follow-up meeting after that with the union leaders. Where are we at in terms of action plan following all of that? Anything you can tell us? I know a lot of that stuff is going to be handled internally, not necessarily for public consumption, but where do you think we're at?
No, absolutely. Right now, Wes and Debbie finished a meeting up with staff yesterday, individuals who wanted to, reserve a slot to talk to Wes and Debbie. And they went Monday and Wednesday, spoke with staff. They're compiling their notes. We're going to sit down and look at everything that was brought forward. What we need to do to, how do we invoke change? Where's the missing connection here, and how do we link that up? But they've talked to staff, they've talked to the executive board of the union, Weston Debbie's talking to me, and we've sat down and tried it. We're going to formalize a plan now that we have all the notes and talk to everybody who wants to come forward, and we'll formalize a plan and go forward from there. That's where we're at right now. So everybody, the tour of talking to everybody and getting everybody's perspective is kind of over with. So now we're just going to, you know, formalize a plan.
And now just like a super detailed question, but I assume the answer is yes. And you've talked to all four shifts. It's not just one shift. It's all four shifts that had an opportunity to give their feedback.
It was all four shifts. That is correct. And everybody had an opportunity to give feedback. We made sure it was either on their day off or if they were working off immediately. So everybody had an opportunity. Absolutely all four shifts had an opportunity to make your voice heard. Yes.
Very good. Eric Gilmore, I left at least half of my questions for you on the table, but we'll ask you another time because we do talk occasionally. He is the director of public safety for Escambia County, and he assures me that the new ambulances are no faster than the traditional ambulances, which is disappointing to those of us who are Blue Angels fans. But okay, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do keeping us safe and keeping us informed, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And by the way, just I want to be clear in case somebody misunderstands me. I'm not saying we shouldn't put guards out on Perdido Key. All I'm saying is that the big push to open up Perdido Key more and more to public access, which is in itself fine, still you need to do that smartly with all of the attendant elements requisite for public safety. And I think there was a rush in this case to push open access without thinking too much about, well, how can we make sure that open access is safe? And it might be that the safety on Perdido Key comes at the expense of safety on Pensacola Beach. We don't know. It might turn out that everything's fine. And I certainly hope that that's the case. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are looking for a home, trying to decide whether to buy, to sell, if now is the right time to move from a rental or move out from your parents or to, you know, whatever, add a home, add a vacation rental maybe, add a long-term rental to your portfolio, whatever you want to do, talk to Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They're fantastic. I mean, genuinely fantastic. They love this industry. She is it's going to sound like a negative, but it's not. She's obsessed about learning about real estate. She loves it. She's a voracious learner. Every time she comes across something that she doesn't know, she dives into it headlong in order to figure it out so that she can provide the best guidance to her clients, which is what you get on the end. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinner Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936, and with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Northwest Florida ranks high in opioid-related deaths, and drug overdose among youth ages 10 to 19 is increasing. One dose of fentanyl, the size of a grain of salt, can be lethal. Help is available. Just like you keep a first aid kit in your car or medicine cabinet, have Narcan on hand in case of an overdose. Understanding opioids and how they work is important to keeping your family safe. For help or support, contact Lakeview Center OPUS program. And for more on what you can do to prevent opioid overdose,
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My brother, it's always business, never personal.
Throws it up from midcourt. No good! For the first time in 55 years, Duquesne has won an NCAA tournament game. And Keith Damrott's coaching career will continue. They shock BYU 71-67.
Cinderella number one. Duquesne knocks off BYU. As you heard there, the first time in 55 years they've won a tournament game. That's the fun times. Oregon, a number 11 also, knocked off South Carolina. It was a much more boring call because the score was much greater, 87-73. And then my team, one of my two teams, Auburn and Illinois, same colors. One I graduated from, one I've adopted locally. You figure out which one is which. Illinois. I went to Illinois for 2 degrees. Illinois struggled early against Morehead State, but dominated them towards the end. And Marcus Domask accomplished something very impressive in the meanwhile.
Domask in the paint. Lost it. Has it. Fade away. Jumper. No good. Off the front of the rim. Rebound by Illinois. Harmon thought about it. Damask for three, right wing. It's good! It's the 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history.
Pretty impressive. Also, he got that off of his own miss. But yeah, he's got 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists with 3 minutes left to go in the game. As they said, only the 10th time it's ever happened in NCAA tournament history. So pretty impressive. Fun times early on. Bracket busters, enough of them to make you lose your hair, which is why we all make a bracket. I had somebody tell me, I have 25 brackets at ESPN. Only one is still viable. Normal. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Alabama woman that faked her own kidnapping last year will avoid jail time. Carly Russell pleaded guilty yesterday to charges of filing a false police report and falsely reporting an incident. The charges stem from that incident last July when she told Hoover police she was kidnapped after stopping to check on a toddler on the side of the highway. Police spent days searching for her. She eventually showed back up, said she made the whole story up. She was given a 6-month suspended sentence. An Australian man has died after trying to protect children from a venomous snake. Paramedics in Queensland were called to a child care facility there. And they say they found a man by the name of Jeremy Brooks in critical condition. He'd apparently been bitten multiple times in the arm by an eastern brown snake he was trying to remove from this children's facility. Apparently, the eastern brown snake has enough venom to kill 20 adults with a single bite. It's the most lethal snake in all of Australia.
Wow. All right. They scare me. Anything that can kill me quick scares me.
Anything in Australia scares me.
That's fair enough.
The whole place.
I'm unnerved by kangaroos.
Yes.
Because they move so weird.
And they like to box.
And they punch you. Yes, that's right. They're strange things. I mean, all of the propaganda from Winnie the Pooh aside, I mean, Kanga and Roo are delightful, but, you know, real life kangaroos, I mean, that Joey's no Joey Coke. I don't know. I tried. It didn't work.
It almost landed. Almost, it was close.
Joey Oak. Okay. David, thanks so much for the... It almost landed on its feet. Biden has... Just going to do what I do best, which is pretend none of that ever happened. Biden is waiving student debt. $6 billion, a half of an aircraft carrier worth of it for public service workers. I mean, why not? Why... You know how when you get, as an adult, told that you can't do something, and they're like, well, I'm going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, no matter how many times you tell me I can't do it. What, is it an election year? Giving away money? No, stop. Who would do that in an election year? Hey, if you're the owner of BMW, a Porsche, Mercedes, I kind of sounded like, if your BMW 300 series is outside, the lights are on. That's kind of what that sounded like. If you own a Mercedes, a Porsche, an Audi, a Genesis, a Jaguar, Lexus, you know, you have to service these cars. You pay a little extra for them. You might think you have to pay extra for the maintenance. You don't. You know, you can save money, you can save time, gas, inconvenience. You don't have to go anywhere distant. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time. They work on domestics too, of course, okay? But they like to let people know they work on the imports because sometimes you think that's a specialty item, and it's not really. You know, they work on them. So you can take it in there. They'll take care of it for you. Thecarclinicservice.com is the website, kind of like a healthcare clinic for your car. Gas engines, diesel engines, anything that runs, bring it to them. Bring it to them healthy so that you don't have to bring it to them broken, and they will take care of it for you. Right here on Davis Highway, Bobby Likas Auto Service. Covenant Care Art of Fashion Parisian Escape is coming up Thursday, April 4th. You can get tickets and go to the pre-party and have a good time with that. Also, the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival is this weekend. Find out more.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.